world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good Friday morning. Hey, we're going to do some, we're going to take communion here. So folks, if you can, go get the elements, get, you know, cracker, whatever. It can be water. It can be whatever. We're going to take communion in a second. Folks, we're sitting in the middle of, if we could really, really see what's going on with the expansion of technology beyond what we can, most of us have no idea. We don't understand what AI is, artificial intelligence. We don't really, really understand it. We really don't. Elon Musk is certainly good guy or bad guy. Again, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. But he is certainly sitting on the top of technology in the world. Is he not today? Is he not? What do they call that? What kind of link do they call that? That he's all over? And there's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And I'll be honest with you, I don't get it all. Mark Trump's going to talk to us a little bit about some of this technological stuff that's going on that we don't understand. And Mark gets it because he's in the technology business. AI and, I mean, man, huh? It's really, really something going on. And at the same time, remember the Bible tells us that there's nothing shaking everything's going to be shaken, all right? Everything's going to be shaken. And I don't know where we are in the prophetic timeline. I don't know if it's the end of days. I don't know if it's the end of months. I don't know. And you can find a Bible expert that will take you to 17 different verses and show you why this is the time. And I'm not making fun of any of that. I'm just saying, does anybody really know? Jesus said that he didn't even know. He didn't even know. Said the angels don't even know. Nobody knows the days, the times. Nobody does. But Jesus also said that we can read the signs of the times. He said, you could sit on your front porch and look out and see the clouds building and know it's going to be a stormy day. He said, you hypocrites, why can't you understand the signs of the times? So here I sit today at, how old am I? I'm 72 years old. Who would ever thought that I'd be sitting here at 72 years old doing what I'm doing and wondering if it's all in vain. I never wonder if it's all in vain. The Lord told us to occupy till he comes, to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Folks, this stuff is really, really simple. And it's the really, really simple stuff that for the most part, I believe, church hasn't been doing. We haven't been occupying till I come. We haven't been going and teaching them to observe. We haven't. We haven't been exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. We haven't been doing any of that. Christianity, somewhere along the line, became something else. And I'm not a reformer or the son of a reformer, and I don't know. But I know this. I can look at what's going on. I'm saying something going on. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And Mark Trump sent me some stuff this morning. I said, God, Mark, we gotta look at this, man. What's going on? What the heck is going on? Joe's going to lead us. I appreciate Joe getting up at 4 a.m. out there to lead us in communion. So we're going to do communion. And then the show might be a little bit different than one. What's going on, man? What's going on with Neuralink? I don't even know what that means. What's going on with the implanting of new technologies into the body? What? AI? Can they really control more than what we understand? Is it the mark of the beast? What is the mark of the beast? I don't want to get into that deeply, but I want to have a general discussion. As we sit here, we should not be oblivious to what's going on around us. So buckle up. It's going to be good. I want to hear from all of you if we can. Well, we can't care for them all. So, Joe, you're up, brother. Appreciate you getting up, Joe.
Or thank in you, your coach.
Case, maybe you haven't even been to bed yet.
Well, sometimes it is an effort. So that in that respect, it is a bit appreciated sometimes.
Hey, Joe, let me throw this out here real quick. Folks, there's something to rejoice about. There's something to rejoice about. I can't throw it up on the screen. After 50 years, Warren Hearn's gruesome Boulder, Colorado abortion clinic, 50 years, closing its doors today. Folks, that's like toppling the Washington's monument of abortion. Something's happening here. Go ahead, Joe.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
I'm going to try to get it to Jared and put it in the chat or something here.
Okay. Saying this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission.
Joe, this is really important, folks. You have to understand this, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You sin, death is the payment. And in the Old Testament times, and really up till for those who are not under the blood of Jesus, the great wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die. Jesus died substitutionary death. In other words, he died in your place, in my place. He took the rap, all right? Because why? God is just and his law requires blood. You get it? Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or payment of sin. You get it? That's the whole idea of communion, that we're reminded every day of the shed blood of Jesus, every time we do it, of the shed blood of Jesus. The price, the dollar bill that had to be paid was shed blood. That's what it's all about. And then the communion is nothing more than a reminder, as often as we do this, the fact that he paid a debt he didn't know in blood, because without, in God's law, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry. Not sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
Wow.
For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Joe, he's our defense attorney. Blood-drenched hands standing before the judge, right? That's what it is.
Yeah.
There's the payment, boys and girls, right there. I paid it.
Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Right? Huh? Right?
Yeah. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Wow.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Next time he comes, he's coming with salvation. Let me pause right there, Joe. Hey, friends, this is just me, Coach Dave here, looking at you right now. I was raised religious. I was raised in a Catholic church, nothing against Catholicism. My parents raised me. I took First Communion. I did the, what do they call that, confirmation. I even took the confirmation name. I went to catechism. I did all that stuff. And I Coach Dave, I'm talking about how to hold of empty, vain religion. That's all I had. I had no understanding of the things of God, of the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the shedding of blood, not the shedding of the blood being no remission of sin. I knew I was a sinner, didn't know what I was supposed to do about it. Go do the confession and take the thing, and I'd be, that's what I thought. And then I had what they call a born-again experience. What? Yeah, I had a born-again experience where the Spirit of Christ touched me, changed me, entered me, and changed me from the inside out. I can't explain that to anybody. But I'm saying this to a lot of you who are watching it right now. You've never received Christ. No, I'm sorry, you haven't. You say, well, I was raised in church my whole life. Yeah, I know. A lot of them raised in church their whole life and never received Christ. And some of you are watching right now. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Bear with me, Joe. You have a form of godliness. Form of God. You look good, but you deny the power thereof, and such men turn away. And a lot of you, a lot of us, have been raised in religious environments without any power. Somebody say amen. Just one of you say amen. So I know that someone's picking up. Thank you.
Amen.
Raised in a religious environment with no power. That was me until I received Christ. Got it written here in my Bible. 1988. Received Christ as my personal Savior. By the way, did you know the Pope said that you can't do that? Did you know that? That the Pope said there's no such thing as receiving Christ's personal salvation. So I'm just going to throw this out there right now. And I just, it's called a sinner's prayer. Wherever you are, if you're watching right now, say, Lord, I don't even know what the heck Coach is talking about, but there's something different that comes through this computer that I touch, and I know it's from you. And Lord, I don't even know if you're real. I think you're real. I was trained that you were real. But Lord, I never understood the death, burial, resurrection, Holy Spirit. I never knew any of that, Lord. And Father, I just come to you right now and just ask you that you would forgive me my sins, that you'd come into my life, that you would change me from the inside out. Fill me with your Spirit. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I accept your sacrifice. Save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Joe.
Yeah, and Coach, you just sort of, when you talked about the power, you reminded me of something. This past weekend, I was part of a team at our sort of every month on the third Saturday, we have a Bethesda Healing Well for healing prayers for people, and I'm on that team, and there was like an impartation that hit when I was praying for somebody, and then I saw something. I think it was Robin Bullock early in the week on Elijah Streams, and he said that because it was Dumanus resurrection power that hit in those prayers, and he said that the Ananias and Sapphira moments can come with this new move of God that people need to, like with communion, remember to ask forgiveness for their sins when they take communion, and to do it sincerely, because those moments when God is really on the move, it isn't like the good old days we grew up in where there wasn't any power. The power is coming back. God is on the move. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in doing something holy like communion, make sure you do it right.
Amen. And Joe, understand there's nothing complicated about it. It ain't rules and regulations, although there are rules and regulations and rule following. That isn't it. You don't follow rules into heaven, folks. You just don't. You just don't. And I know I'm talking to a lot of people out there who are, you know them. You go to church with them. They're powerless Christians. Why are they powerless? Because they have a mental ascension to what happened, but they never understood that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside them if they're born again of the Spirit of God. And unfortunately, the churches are full of people who don't understand it. And I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody else. I didn't think it could be don't happen to me. It happened to me. Huh? I got born again. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, I think that's also one reason why the occult is so popular to people, because there are, is some power they see there.
They see it, don't they, Joe?
They see it, yes. But it's nothing compared to the power of God.
Amen, brother. It's a, yeah, what anyway, they call that? Copycat. Go ahead.
Okay. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this day with gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude that we serve the one true God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's profound, Lord, and we really can't comprehend the creator of the universe risking and sacrificing his only begotten Son for us. Wow. We really don't fully comprehend it, though we are trying, Lord. And we are so grateful for what we remembered from this past weekend of the sacrifice our Lord and the ordeal he went through for us and his victory at the resurrection. Amen. Returning with the keys. It's profound, and we really, I don't think, really understand that, Lord, but we're trying. And we're grateful for the dumous power that is increasing in the church that's waking up and growing and becoming, I believe, what it was meant to be. But it's just an embryo now. But we're becoming what we were meant to be. And Lord, so forgive us our sins and our transgressions as we take this Holy Communion. Bring us cleansed into your sight. Bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for us almost 2,000 years ago. And let us remember that we are our Lord's ambassadors. And before we raise our temper or get short with somebody, Lord, let us try to remember WWJD, what would Jesus do in these circumstances? Is it a time when he would flip over the tables, or is it a time when he would turn the other cheek? More often than not, it's a time to turn the cheek. But occasionally, I guess, Lord, it's time to have, to show a righteous anger and flip the tables. Give us the discernment to know the difference, Lord. Let us know the difference. And be with our country and the rest of the countries around the world, and all this change is hitting them. Let those who are serving secret masters be brought to justice, and let transparency prevail. Leverage the technology, Lord, that is being used in these audits or whatever they are. And let it reveal truth, Lord. Let this work for your purposes, revealing truth. And let us cleanse our governments around the world of these, of these lies and subterfuges and all these hidden finances and hidden agendas. Let it all be opened up. Let it all be opened up. Let the truth set us free, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
You know, the Catholic Church teaches, and again, I'm not bashing Catholics. Come on. Hey, listen, if you're a Catholic, lighten up. I could talk about the Methodists. I could talk about the Baptists. I could talk about the Lutherans. I happen to be raised Catholic. The Catholic Church believes that's it's like a born-again experience every time you take that. They believe salvation's in the communion. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's called transubstantiation. They believe that this actually becomes the literal body and blood of Jesus. And that's how you're saved, through that. Craig, go ahead quickly. Don't get me down a rabbit trail.
Oh, it's not a rabbit trail, but you can go right back to the beginning, starting in Genesis. Abel, off, he was a shepherd. He was took care of sheep. And Cain was of the ground. And Cain's offering wasn't accepted because God was asking for a blood sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And Cain brought stuff from the ground, and Abel brought the firstborn. Notice the firstborn of his sheep. This goes right back. There's a consistency in the Bible from the very beginning. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. That's why God killed an animal to cover Adam and Eve. He did not use cotton.
Amen. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I want to play this. I'm going to just let this encourage you a minute, because we live in really, really turbulent times, although I think there's probably always been turbulent times, but I'm not sure the divide has been so great as we see it today, a political divide. Really, it's not political, it's spiritual. And I just want to play this because, get it ready, Miracle on Ice, pull that up there, Spence. You guys remember the Miracle on Ice? Was it Ruth? Was it Esther? Help me out here with my theology. Who said that you've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this?
That was Mordecai unto Esther, Queen Esther.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Folks, do you realize that we've all been called into the kingdom for just right now? Right? Whatever the battle is that you're dealing with, even personally, family issues, financial issues, whatever, it's all about a kingdom view. Who's king? Who is king? And the battle's raging, man. It's it's raging. And whether we like it or not, we see the clash of the kingdoms is right before us. And it's so confusing that we don't often know good guys from bad guys. We don't know good guys from bad guys. That's part of it. It's part of this grand delusion that's going on. Is Elon a good guy? I don't know. Is Trump a good guy? I don't know. Pelosi a good gal? I don't know. I mean, I think I know, but I don't know. We do know this, right? They're all pawns in the hands of the Lord. The Lord will use whoever he wants to. He'll raise one up. He'll set another down. There ain't nothing that you're watching going on that is out of the control of the Lord. He controls it all. And he told us, go into all the world and teach them to observe all this stuff. And are we? Is the American church going into all the... See, look. Going to Haiti may get people saved, and that is noble. But getting people saved in Haiti does not expose the unfruitful works of darkness in other places of the world. We have a territorial obligation where we live to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Folks, you think I'm cherry picking scripture? See, I'm not cherry picking scripture. It's all perspective. It's all perspective. I see a problem. I want to do something. I'm a coach. I see a problem. I want to fix it. And how do you fix it? You find the guys who can do it. And you employ them, you get them, and go fix it. And you ask yourself this, have you ever been, using a term, you ever been hired by your church to do anything? You haven't, probably. You've been hired to come there and tithe there, faithfully attend there. But Jesus gave you a commission. Spencer, real quickly, look up commission. Webster, a commission. The Great Commission. We've been given the Great Commission. We don't even teach the Great Commission. What is it? The act of committing or sending to. The act of entrusting as a charge of duty. The thing committed, entrusted, or delivered. Charge, order, mandate, authority given. The Great Commission, the Great Order. Go and teach them. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. The Great Commission. Now, you don't have to do good works to get into heaven. But daggone it, if you put on the Jesus football helmet, don't you think you ought to go hit somebody? Doesn't it make sense if you're in the army, if you're committed to go fight this war, that you go fight it? We don't hire Republicans to do it. We don't hire Donald Trump to do it. Donald Trump opened the door. Ding dong, the Pope is dead. Big signal there. Ding dong, the Pope is dead. Come in, church. I've heard from Trump. Going to stop Christian persecution. I heard from Trump. Trump ain't going to do it. We're going to do it. So I saw this yesterday. You guys remember the Miracle on Ice in 1980? Wasn't it 1980? Olympics when the
1976 coach, it was special up in New York.
All right, 1976 when we defeated,
Americans, 1980 Winter Olympics, okay. Lake Placid, New York.
Okay, let's not fight, we all love each other here, huh? Where our Olympic team were amateurs, college players, amateurs. The Russian hockey team was an all-star team of the professionals. It'd be like us taking an all-star team from the National Hockey League and playing amateurs. The odds of us beating them, not with nothing. No chance to beat them, right? This is Herb Brooks' speech before. Remember this. There's a call on your life too. Have you been called into the kingdom for such a time as this? Go ahead and play it.
Thank you. great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
And so I just want you to, I just sent you something else. I'm sorry, I just want to, go with the flow here a second, all right? Pull up what I just sent you, Spencer. You know, the Bible says tomorrow is promised to no man. And here I sit as a 72-year-old grandfather of 10 and a half. How much longer do I have? How much longer do you have? What is, at this time and this place in history, what is holding us back? What's holding us back? I read somewhere that some psychologist did a study on regrets of life and found out that at the end of life, as you get older and you get to be 72 years old, as you look back over your life, rarely do you regret things you did. But at the end of your life, you regret those things you didn't do.
Amen.
And we may never pass this way again. Play that, Spencer, real quick.
life. So they say, it's but a game, and they let it slip away. Love, like the autumn sun, should be dying, but it's only just begun. Like the twilight in the road up ahead, they don't see just where we're going. All the secrets in the universe whisper in our ears. All the years come and go, take us up, always up, even ever pass this way again. We may never pass this way again. We may never pass this way again. Dreams, so they say, are for the fools, and they let them drift away. Peace, like the silent dove, should be flying, but it's only just begun. Like Columbus in the olden days, we must gather all our courage, sail our ships out on the open sea, cast away our fears, and all the come and go, take us up, always up. We may never pass this way again.
That's good enough, Ben. We may never pass this way again. The opportunities before us are more than a once in a lifetime, more than a once in a generation. We are at a cataclysmic clash between two kingdoms. And we are the foot soldiers of the good guys. We are. Not the Republicans, not Donald Trump. Those who carry the name of Christ are the good guys. We are his workmen, the Bible says. And instead of us doing all we can, because we may never pass this way again, we throw up our hands and say, well, it's all over. It's the end time. What can we do about it? Well, I know this. I know I ain't passing this way again.
Boom.
That's before us right now. We'll look back over the rest of our life and think of what we should have done in the time at which we find ourselves. Amen. All right. I'll move on. I'll get you in a second, Mark. Johnny, go ahead.
I just have to say this. This is a perfect time for me to bring this lyrics from a song, just a quick lyric from a really prolific songwriter, Dan Fogelberg. I know many of you have heard of him. But in one of his songs, he writes, "Once in a vision, I came upon some woods and stood in a fork in the road. One road was simple, an acceptance of life. The other road offered sweet peace. Mm. When I came to the decision of which road to take, my vision became my release." And you just made me think of that when you're showing all that stuff. So thought I'd share that.
So Johnny, if there's a problem and you see it, it's your job to solve it. It's your job to do something about it. Hey, isn't it about time somebody done something? Well, that often that's us. That's us. Nobody said it'd be easy. Nobody did. John, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I really enjoyed that song, and I just went up to the Catholic Shrine, Bishop Berga, to sit there while you're doing, I don't know if you know much about the Catholic Shrine up here, Bishop Berga. That was the first bishop around in Upper Michigan who went to the Native Americans. But I also was an ex-hockey player. I didn't really play on the team, but I played hockey a lot. So I really enjoyed that Kurt Russell. I'm a great Kurt Russell fan, especially Tombstone. Yeah. I was surprised he wasn't going to do the Four Horsemen ride or something there. But thanks for that song, and the message today was really good. I just want to say, made my day. I'm about to go in the public school system. I'm also a sub teacher. So God bless you for doing that. It was an awesome song. Thank you.
Hey, you're in a war, baby. We're in a war. The sooner we realize it, that we're in a war. Not only are we in a war, we are his soldiers. We're soldiers of the cross, man. Huh? We're soldiers of the cross. Let's go to work. Okay, I got another hand coming. I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to get Mark in here. Clint, go ahead, Clint, and then RJ, and then no more hands for a minute, okay? Because I really want to get to this. Go ahead, Clint.
Coach, I just wanted you to know, sorry I had to listen late yesterday, but I ordered my Natural Family signs. We're going to hold them. I know they're yard signs, but we're holding them between Mother's Day and Father's Day when we hit the streets. So,
amen, baby.
And I'm going to send the information to some pastors I know, and I doubt if any of them will do anything, but there's always a chance. But great show yesterday.
Hey, thanks, Clint. Hey, here's all I know. Clint, you'll stand before the Lord, and you'll give an account for what you did, not what that other pastor did. Amen. We're all going to say, hey, folks, we're all going to give an account for what we did. Not what the crowd did. What did you do? Bless you, Clint. RJ.
Yeah, real quick, Coach. I just remind me of something I heard last night, and I'll find the link. I'll put it in the chat where Dutch Sheets gave a message, I guess, 2 or 3 days ago, and he laid it out for the body of Christ, where what we're at. We're bringing the war to them at this. This is a new season. We've been playing defense for so long. You'll enjoy it. I'll put it in the chat.
Thanks, RJ.
For everybody.
Like I said, hey, folks, this is just me. I don't know Donald Trump's spiritual condition. I don't know the spiritual condition of Elon Musk, but I'd rather have either one of them than Franklin Graham as president. That's true. I'm just telling you the truth. So Christians are so soft and compromised when we're in a freaking war. They're after our children. They're eating our children. We want to play patty cake. It's amazing. Look, I want to get Mark Trump in here because I think this is important. I kind of text back and forth with Mark a little bit here. We need to understand this war that's going on. The technological war that's going on, AI. Now they're talking about artificial eyes. And Mark's on the cutting edge of all that. So, Mark, I'm just going to shut up here for, I meant to give you more time. Mark, what's going on, Mark?
I don't need a whole lot of time, but hoping to open some eyes. Coach, everyone's wondering how soon is all this stuff going to happen. And one of the things that I've realized is the rate of change will lead you to how soon something's going to happen. Mm. All right. If you think about Gideon's army, there is a lot of people there that did not understand what was going on when Gideon was being led by God to do the things that happened. So up until that, there was massive amounts of, I don't know, when is this going to happen? What's going on? We're going to do this and this. You know, they had to put faith into something. But up until they waved their candles in the air and beat their shields, they didn't really know the outcomes. Well, that's Mark, where we are, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark, not only that, there were 30,000 of them who wouldn't go to war. They were just content to watch everything get worse, right?
That's where we are.
Yep.
And it's only a few people, and we're wondering, when's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? So if you look at the rate of change up until that moment when change happens, it'll help you figure out how far it is away. Things are happening right now so quickly in all the areas of technology. Okay, it's almost like, let's just say there was a floodgate on all this technology before, and now the gates are open. All right. And that's what we're seeing is all the floodgates are open on the technology rollouts, drill, 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 everything. All right. So I guess if you look at artificial intelligence, I shared some links with Spencer, but I'm going to put one in chat that everyone can open and I'll keep going. But basically, artificial intelligence is set up to do easy tasks that humans don't want to do. In other words, take away the jobs that are repetitive that we train workers on, junior workers. So what happens to the workforce when all of these things happen? So in chat, you see it's got a 11 jobs. So if you look down through this article, it's manufacturing jobs, retail and commerce roles, okay, transport and logistics jobs. So there's 8 of them listed right there that basically software can replace.
Mark, we used to call these entry-level jobs in some spots, right? You went, you worked in a factory. You worked in a warehouse.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So you got basic jobs that are being replaced by software. Right. So with that said, what happens to those people? Right. Think about an autonomous truck and an entire trucking industry replaced by autonomous trucks. What do those truck drivers do? OK, so this is what's happening is,
so Mark,
you know,
Mark, hang on.
Yep.
Mark, you're talking about self-driving trucks. If they get self-driving trucks, you don't need truck drivers.
That's right. That's right. You don't need truck drivers. So the bottom line is where does it, you know, where is it going and how fast is it getting there? And what should we be looking for? And like this next article I put in chat, a tech founder's getting ridiculed. His new startup is going to replace human employees with artificial intelligent bots. So AI bots can be physical to move things around your factory, or they can be digital to take care of your paperwork and processing. So an AI bot can be digital or physical. Both have to have security. That's how come we're diving down this rabbit hole. But what I'm saying is these cultural norms are growing very quickly to replace humans. So quickly, in fact, that, you know, by the end of the year, you know, what we have is a legion of robots. So by the end of this year, if you'll look in chat, right, there's going to be a legion of Optimus robots produced by the Tesla company to replace more humans. There'll be thousands of them is what the article says there. But this article refers to the robots as a legion. I mean, I didn't make that up, Coach, right? So that's where that's kind of where it's going, right?
Right.
So where, Mark, do we go from here? What's your thoughts on that alone? Because, I mean, that's a big discussion right there, those three articles leading somewhere, right?
Okay, so let me hang on. Let me interject this right now, folks, so that you think about this. One of the big things that's happening in Washington, D.C. with DOGE and all that stuff, they're finding out that the Social Security, for one, Social Security Department, all government, they're working on 1960 technology, folks. They're still hand doing data, all that kind of stuff. And when Musk went in there, he opened it up, said, I can't believe this. We're in 2025, and they're still using 1960 methods of data. But see, they're doing that on purpose because why? It secures jobs. Some guy has to go do data entry. Don't have to do data entry like that anymore. So the transformation that's taking place is, and it could be dangerous on both sides, technology will require no human labor. Isn't that it, Mark? It's not going to take
little human interaction. So what happens to a society like this? I could go several different directions, but let's just go this direction. What happens with an automated society without humans? That means who's keeping the quality, consistency, the checks and balances? Who's doing that in a manufacturing job? Who's doing that in a human resource job that software is doing? So pretty soon, your software-defined human resource would build a company based on that software's morality, that software's hiring perspective, that software that was written as an AI software was written by a person with morality, with beliefs, or maybe future AI will be coded by AI systems autonomously, where there's no more morality left, Coach. Code produces code to manage code.
This data is where it's data. Data is just right. Data. It's not right All or right. wrong. It's not moral or immoral. It's just data.
Yeah. So if you put a Google search in, at the top of the Google search, you see this little thing, pitter pattern, and all of a sudden words pop up. Well, you just spun up a data center, you did, with your Google search, and it produced an AI instance that produced your output using processor speed, consuming energy and water. That's how accessible AI is to you. If you get an AI prompt result in any search engine, you're burning that energy. And now we're doing it. So they've already introduced it to us. So now they got robots coming out this year that consumers can buy. Would you rather have a car or a robot? Cities are going to choose robots because they can walk everywhere. Do you see where it's headed? Connect all these dots. You got depopulation due to potentially a pandemic. You got all the buildings filled up with data centers. You got all the land mass filling up with data centers, all the agriculture being converted to synthetic food. Connect all the dots, folks. So this stuff isn't, it's not siloed. They're doing it all at once, and it's all happening, say, by the end of the year.
So the problem is, here's what's in front of us, the way I see it. We have a battle going on between government efficiency or government employment. That's really what, see, we don't need all those people anymore to do all those things that they've been doing. That's what DOGE is all about. So we are at a moral decision now.
Yeah.
Do we do it efficiently or do we keep people employed by the government, charge more
taxes? Where do you put the people from DOGE or from a private company who's using AI like the one I shared? A dude's building a company without humans. Where do the people work? What do they do? That is the underlying problem. This is why there needed to be a pandemic, Coach.
Yeah.
Do you understand why there has to be depopulation? Why the Georgia Guidestones said 500 million? This is why. Right here.
Mark, I didn't get a chance to pull it up here today, folks. Hear me, okay? Hear me. COVID was a depopulation scheme. Because we don't have the money to pay Social Security to all these baby boomers who are getting to that age. It was elimination of money that we owed, the government owed to retired workers. The easiest thing to do was just get rid of them.
Boomer. Mm.
So one of the last notes I'll make about this is, all right, so we got robots coming out of Tesla by end of year. We got satellite coverage. There's no blind spots with Starlink. We got an entire electric transportation system forming. The very last piece of this is the digital currency and some sort of token that you become a token in the system, a key, something that needs to be tracked and protected so you can buy and sell. And that will be the mark. It's all in place, but no one sees it. Churches aren't teaching it, and everyone's adopting it. So I'm just a watchman on the wall, Coach. Jesus or a cosmic event is what I'm saying.
Oh, but that's the battle ahead of us, isn't it, Mark? Huh? A government efficiency or government control. That's really where we are, folks. That's the battle. That's the clash of the two kingdoms that we see going on right now. Do we want to reduce our taxes at the risk of Joe Allen losing his job? That's the question that we're going to have to deal with, because that's really it, isn't it, Mark?
Amen. Well, it's like, just where do your children, what are they going to do for a job? If unless they learn AI systems or be a part of a machine-based society, what are they going to do for jobs? Now you got isolated communities that are going to be easy to track and handle. I mean, that's just the future. Now, Amen. Jesus, we got Jesus in us in faith. We got the Gideon's army. We got those examples of what it could look like. You know, So we don't know the outcomes. We're right before that event. That's what I'm saying.
Because it's not the technology that's bad, folks. It's the way the technology is used that Amen. Is bad. Joe Allen, quickly. Then Vinny. Mark, we need to do a whole series on this. This is amazing. Go ahead, Joe.
Right now, like what Mark's just saying, we got a 400-acre nursery that there's no men out there putting the plants in the field, all by robots.
Yep.
When
yep.
you order yep. a plant, the robots bring the plant to the docking station where you as a human pick up your purchase. Already here.
Our son-in-law just bought a used, he does a lot of traveling. Gas is expensive, costs him $200 a week in gas. He went out and he bought a used, they call that electric car, one of Elon's cars. He bought one. Said you just plug it in, you get electricity, you go. No more stopping at gas station. See, everything's changing. Vinny, go ahead.
Well, what Mark was just describing was the power of a lever. You know, people use levers to move heavy objects with little force. And so, for example, they were giving us grief for trying to account for what they're doing. So what they did, they just moved the fulcrum.
And there you go.
The tipping point. I'm digging what you're spitting, Vinny. I get it.
All good.
See, there's a great revolution that's happening in front of us. It's the information age. They told us the information age. But for the most part, we don't get it except for this thing right here. This could be either good or bad. How much time a day you spend on this thing? Now, the good part about it is I have unbelievable information at my fingertips. But the bad thing is, starting to lose all human contact because I'm just using this thing. There's always trade-offs, aren't there? Now, hang on. I've got a couple minutes left here. Is this a sign of the end times? Is that where we all hunker down because it's the end times? Or do we occupy till he comes? Rochelle, quickly, you got a couple minutes.
Hey, good morning, team. I guess what I really mostly wanted to comment on was the kill event, you know, the jab, what you said, it was to thin the population, but it wasn't yep. just that. You guys remember how you could check your batch. You could go online and check your batch and see how deadly it was. Not all the batches were meant to kill you. This was a huge experiment. And keep in mind the scientists and doctors who were in the graveyards who were picking up people were now transmitting triple E numbers like you were a device. Okay, dead people who had gotten vaccinated were transmitting from their graves. Wow. So this wasn't just to kill you. If you were still alive, if it didn't kill you, you can now be tracked and traced. So you can fit into their 15-minute cities and all of their stuff. And there's this one thing. Why do they want to control us? Do you want to control? I don't want to control people. What is it about these demons that want to control us? It's so they don't have to do anything, I'm sure. They don't want to work.
Where the spirit of the Lord
is, more than that.
Where the spirit of the Lord is, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So it's a battle between liberty and control, right? That's really all it is. And men want to control. Men want to control. We're supposed to give over control to God, to the Holy Spirit. We don't even talk about that anymore. I'm running out of time.
You're hitting on it right there. It's control, pride, the whole thing. We want to be God. We want to be God. And that's where people who are going to believe the lie are going to think they can become gods by plugging into this system somehow.
I could be like God. I could be like God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.